As I've already mentioned, Beth Roaring is going to be speaking to us on the book of Esther, continuing our monthly series following on a whole book of the Bible. Because she's going through the whole book, she's going to take the readings as we go, so there'll be no reading right now, but you can do turn to the book of Esther, which, if you have a church Bible, is on page 501. So the book of Esther on page 501. And just as Beth comes to speak to us, we're going to pray for her too. So let's pray for Beth. Lord, we want to commit Beth to you this morning, and I want to thank you for her preparation for this sermon. We ask that you might speak through her and her preparation as she shares with us today on the book of Esther. We ask too for ourselves that our ears might be open to hearing your word, and that our hearts might be soft, willing to respond to your word preached this morning in obedience to your commands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over to Beth.
Good morning. Well, the book of Esther. Today we have it all. We've got drama, goodies, baddies, subplots and assassination plots. It's a little bit like a few episodes of EastEnders. So to really get into this book, I divided the narrative into four episodes. We will look at what happens in the story and then think particularly about some of the character traits of the main characters and particularly those of Esther. Each episode is a summary of the action that takes place. So we will start with episode one. King Xerxes is showing off his power and wealth by having a lot of banquets. He is having such a good time that he calls for his wife, Queen Vashti, to come. Queen Vashti is beautiful, and King Xerxes wants to parade her around so everyone can see just how beautiful she is. Queen Vashti, however, is not so keen. She doesn't feel like being Miss Persia tonight, so she refuses to go. King Xerxes is less than impressed. In fact, he is so mad, he calls for his helpers who are experts in the law and asks for their advice. The experts are worried. They think that if all the women of the land hear about what Queen Vashti has done, then they will start to despise their husbands and do as they please. Of course, this cannot be allowed. So they decide that Queen Vashti must be unqueened and someone else is to be found to take her place. If this is done, then all women will definitely respect their husbands. And just to make sure, advice will be distributed to all that every man should be the ruler of his household. So the search for beautiful young virgins commences. And it's at this point that we are introduced to Mordecai and her cousin and his cousin Esther. Mordecai has raised Esther, as she has no parents, and like the other girls, Esther is taken from her home to the palace. Mordecai and Esther are Jews, but Mordecai has advised Esther not to let anyone know this. Every day, Mordecai checks in on Esther to make sure that she is okay. Like all the girls, Esther is given 12 months of beauty treatments and then is summoned to spend the night with the king. King Xerxes is most impressed by Esther and thinks that she is the most beautiful and decides to make her queen. He celebrates this with, of course, a banquet. In these episodes, I want to look particularly at Esther's character and then later on relate these to us and the church community. So episode one, we meet Esther for the first time and know very little about what she thinks or feels about the situation that she is in. I would imagine that she didn't want to leave Mordecai and go and be beautified and then have to sleep with the king. What we do know is that she impressed those that had anything to do with her. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 says, Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who was in charge of the harem. The girl pleased him and won his favour. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and Esther won the favour of everyone who saw her. I think that this went beyond her outward beauty and appearance. To win people's favour, your character must play a part too. She obviously made the best of the situation that she was in, and people warmed to her because of this. This can't have been easy for Esther. I wonder whether there was someone else that Esther had in mind that she wanted to marry. In this first episode, we learn a lot about King Xerxes and the type of man that Esther is going to have to be queen to. We see that he is easily angered and has very little respect for Queen Vashti or women in general. Esther has come from living with Mordecai, who has cared about her and brought her up. He clearly respects her, loves her, and wants the best for her. We are told that every day he is there checking to see that she is okay. For Esther, this must have been a huge comfort, knowing that he was still looking out for her and there for her in this new situation that she faced. Mordecai and Esther show great faithfulness to each other, unlike King Xerxes, who would appear to be easily swayed by other people's opinions and be looking out for his own best interests. Throughout this ordeal, Esther could have decided to be difficult, rude, obnoxious, and who could have blamed her, but she wasn't. She chose to make the best of the situation that was out of her control and to serve God through it. So for us, what are we like when we're put in situations that are out of our control, and how do we deal with them? Episode 2. Episode 2 begins with Mordecai having a seat by the king's gate and overhearing two of the king's officials, Bigthana and Teresh, plotting to assassinate the king. Mordecai tells Esther, and Esther tells the king, and so Bigthana and Teresh are hanged. This is all written down for future reference. Now enter Haman. He is one of the king's nobles and is made more important by King Xerxes than all the others, so much so that the people are supposed to bow down before him. When Haman is in the presence of Mordecai, however, Mordecai refuses to kneel, and so Haman gets angry. So angry, in fact, he decides that killing Mordecai would not be enough. He must kill all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, as well. So Haman goes to ask King Xerxes for this to happen, and King Xerxes agrees. A law is written and sent out saying that on a single day, all the Jews are to be killed. Mordecai cannot believe what he is hearing. He is in great distress, and Esther hears about how upset he is and wants to know why. Esther appears to know nothing of the law until Mordecai tells her. Mordecai sends a message to Esther asking her to go and speak to the king. Esther is not keen. She tells Mordecai that no one is allowed to go to the king unless he is asked for them first. If someone does go without being asked, he will kill them, unless he holds out his gold scepter and spares their life. It has also been 30 days since Esther was last called to go to the king. She is not hopeful. However, Mordecai insists. He tells Esther that just because she is the queen, she will not escape this coming genocide, and that maybe she has become queen for this very purpose. Esther listens and then tells Mordecai to get all the Jews together. They must fast for 3 days. Esther and her maids will do the same. After these 3 days, she will go to the king, and if she dies, she dies. So that's what Mordecai does. And after 3 days, Esther goes to the king, who is sitting on his throne. When he sees Esther, he is pleased and holds out his gold scepter. There is a huge sigh of relief. This is the part of the story that we all know so well. But before we look at Esther's bravery, I just want to note Mordecai's actions in telling the king about the assassination plot. He can't have liked King Xerxes that much, seeing he was the one that took Esther away from him, and yet he still informs him of the plot. He is a man of integrity. But back to Esther. What great courage she shows. But it doesn't appear to come straight away. Esther gets there in the end, but she is not keen at first. Esther is fully aware of the consequences of her actions. In chapter 4, verse 16, she says, "If I perish, I perish." But this is after she shows her leadership skills and directs Mordecai to gather the people to fast. She is direct, clear, and focused. She knows what needs to be done. And for Mordecai, we see a man in the story taking direction from a woman. He appears to have no problem with this and does exactly as she says. After Esther has directed Mordecai, she is true to her word. After 3 days, she goes to the king. I wonder if she was feeling particularly courageous that day. I doubt it. We have seen that King Xerxes does not appear to be the most level-headed guy. And she would have known what had happened to Queen Vashti, and that was just for not coming to a banquet. Esther was about to break the law, but she does it anyway. And I think we get courage by doing. I think we can wait for courage to come, and we can sit in a room and hope that we're courageous, but until we act, we will not have courage. Courage comes through doing. And it is God who enables us to do this. God is not mentioned at all in the whole book of Esther, but we can see through the actions of Mordecai and Esther who they serve. I would imagine that they were not only fasting for 3 days, but praying too. So do we sit around waiting to have courage before we do something, or are there situations around us where we need to act? We must remember, though, the preparation that Esther and Mordecai went through. They fasted and probably prayed for 3 days beforehand. I don't think we should suddenly throw ourselves into situations so that we can be courageous and then ask God about it afterwards. We need to come before God first, bring the situation to him, and if it is right for us to act, ask for him to help us, and then courage will come as a result. So what is it for us that we need to bring before God today in our lives before we take action? Okay, episode 3. After Esther has been saved by the gold scepter, she asks the king if he and Haman will join her for a banquet. The king agrees at once. Thank goodness he didn't kill his wife, he would have missed out on another feast. Haman and the king attend Esther's banquet, and he wants to know what it was that Esther really wanted. Surely she wouldn't have risked her life just to ask him to come for a meal. Esther asks them both to come to another banquet, and there she will tell them. But after this first banquet, Haman is, we're told, in high spirits, and he sees Mordecai, who does not show him any kind of fear in his presence. Haman is so angry that he has a gallows built immediately so that Mordecai can be hanged the next day. However, that night the king cannot sleep. So he decides to have the book that records everything about his reign as king read to him, a little bit like having This Is Your Life read to you. During this time, they come to the part about the assassination plot that Mordecai uncovered. King Xerxes asks what Mordecai was given as a reward for this and is told that nothing was done. Just then, Haman arrives, and the king decides to pick his brains about what should be done for someone that the king wants to really honour. Haman is delighted. He thinks the king wants to honour him, and so gives him a long list of suggestions, including being given a royal robe, put on a royal horse, and paraded through the streets for all to see. King Xerxes likes the sound of this, and so asks Haman to do just that for Mordecai. Oh, the irony. Haman has no choice but to do what the king says. He is furious. However, he does have Esther's second banquet to attend, and while at this feast, the king asks Esther again what it is she wants from King Xerxes. Esther finally explains. She explains that she and all the Jews are about to be killed. The king did not know this and asks who is responsible. Esther tells him it's Haman. Haman pleads with Esther, but the king is so mad that he has Haman killed on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai. I think it's interesting to note here the vast difference between the characters of Haman and Mordecai. Mordecai, like Esther, is a person of principles. He will not bow down to Haman, even if there is a threat to his life. He knows that God is the only one to be served. Haman, however, was probably so pleased to have been at a banquet with just the king and the queen that the idea that someone as unimportant as Mordecai not kneeling before him made him see red. Haman's anger would appear to be fueled by his arrogance. He is so overcome with fury that he wants Mordecai killed as soon as possible. Which makes it all the more ironic that Haman is then asked to parade Mordecai around the streets and give him honour. We are told how Haman covers his head in grief after he has had to do this. And yet we are told nothing of what Mordecai thinks. He has just been honoured by the king and then goes back to the king's gate as usual. Nothing would appear to have changed, and Mordecai does not appear to have let it change him. So looking at Esther in this episode, why does Esther ask the king to come to one, let alone two, banquets? She could have asked the king after he had raised the gold scepter what she wanted. Why did she draw out the whole process? Well, we're not told her reasons for doing this, but I think it shows us that she had wisdom in knowing how to handle the king. After all, we know how much the king likes his banquets. She must have known the king pretty well and so worked with what she knew. Esther also knows that having Haman at the banquet is the perfect opportunity to reveal to the king what he has done. I always imagine him tucking into a chicken leg and then hearing what Esther was about to say and wanting there to be people to hide behind. But there is no one else there. He has done this terrible thing and there is no getting away from it. He cannot hide. Esther is wise in her actions. She knows Xerxes and Haman's character and uses this knowledge to serve her purpose. We're told in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom comes from knowing God. The more we know God, the wiser we'll be. If there is anything to pursue in life, wisdom is one of those things. So, bringing this back to us, in what circumstances, relationships or situations do we need wisdom? We need to bring those before God. So finally, episode 4. After killing Haman, King Xerxes decides to give Haman's entire estate to Esther, and we are told that Mordecai enters the presence of the king because he is related to Esther. However, all is still not well because the law to kill the Jews still stands. Even though Esther and Mordecai are safe, Esther pleads with the king. She falls at his feet, weeping, so that he will stop the evil plan of Haman. The king again extends his gold scepter to Esther, and she is given permission to talk to the king. Esther suggests that a new order be written, overruling what Haman wrote. The king tells Esther and Mordecai that they can write a new decree in the king's name. Mordecai gets to work writing an edict that grants the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves from anyone who might attack them. This is made known to everyone. So the day comes when the enemies of the Jews try to overpower them, but now the tables are turned and the Jews get the upper hand. No one can stand against them. Mordecai is now pretty well established in the palace and becomes more and more powerful. The Jews strike down all their enemies, and Esther is told by the king what has happened. The king asks her what she now wants. Esther asks that the Jews have the power to fight the next day as well, and that the 10 sons of Haman, who have already been killed, are hanged on gallows. On the third day, the Jews rest, and this day is made into one of celebration and feasting. It is to be remembered annually and is called Purim. So here we have a big turnaround of events. Both Esther and Mordecai in the last few days have gone from being nearly killed to becoming honoured and placed in even more important roles. They have both been completely faithful to God's way of living and are now in position of influence. Because of this, Esther and Mordecai are safe from the threat of annihilation that still hangs over the Jews. However, neither are satisfied to stand back and allow this to happen. Again, Esther shows bravery and courage as she asks the king to do something about this. Esther could be risking everything by going on at the king to do more. And it's not even about her life anymore. It's about the lives of God's people. She and Mordecai are totally committed to trying to save them. Thankfully, the king wants to help and entrusts the writing of a new law to Esther and Mordecai. God appears to have placed Esther and Mordecai in the right positions at the right time. We have to remember that the God that we serve is more powerful than the kingdoms and rulers of this world. He can overturn powers and authorities as he chooses. And yet, for some crazy reason, he likes to involve us in the process. I wonder whether Esther and Mordecai thought that they were in the right place at the right time. We know that Mordecai tells Esther in chapter 4, verse 14, "And who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" He can see how God can use her in the position she has as queen. But I wonder whether he thought that when she was first taken away. God sees the bigger picture, and we have to trust that he will use us how and when he wants to. There is a lot we can learn from Esther and Mordecai's commitment to all of God's people and the way they worked to save them. For Esther and Mordecai, there was more at stake than just their lives. It was the lives of the rest of God's church. And for us today, we have to remember that we are part of God's church. Life is not just about us. It's not just even about us and about God. It's about us, God, and the community of God's family that he has given us. When we become Christians, we are placed into a family where we must all strive to live lives by the Spirit and work with what God has given us to serve each other and him. Life is not about us, it's about God and his people. God used Esther in so many ways, and he worked through her character to save his people. So, how does God want to use us? And what of our character does he want to make more like his? Father God, I thank you that we can have a relationship with you. And I thank you for all that we can learn through Esther. And I pray that you would change our characters to be more like yours. And that we would be able to serve you in the situations that we face every day. In Jesus' name, amen.